They got a green light.
Huh?
Okay. If you would, turn to Ruth chapter 2 tonight. Ruth is a familiar book, and the story you're going to hear tonight is a familiar story. I don't know how the book of Ruth is about the kinsman redeemer. Okay, and I noticed, or I saw a video here a week or so ago about we're showing a video on the new Ferrari. We're showing a video on the new Ferrari, and they were showing how this thing goes 278 miles an hour. They were showing the video from outside and inside of it as he was driving this thing. $1.5 million for one car. And then right after that, I watched one on Lamborghini. Lamborghini rolled out their newest model. They were only making three, one in green, one in white, and one in red, which is the Italian colors. Their latest model, $4.5 million. And when they rolled it out on the showroom floor, they already had all three of them sold. People with that kind of money, you think they need God? Oh, yeah. More than they know. But as it says in Revelation, you know, about the Laodicean church, that they feel like they have need of nothing. Not knowing that they're blind and destitute and naked. And they don't realize that everything in this life ain't going to mean nothing one second into hell. As soon as that first flame licks their body, it wouldn't be worth nothing. Anyway, as we read tonight in Ruth chapter 2, starting at verse 5, says, "Then said Boaz unto the servant who was set over the reapers, Whose damsel is this? And the servant that was set over the reapers answered and said, It is the Moabitish damsel that came back with Naomi out of the country of Moab. And she said, I pray you, let me glean and gather after the reapers among the sheaves. So she came and hath continued from the morning until now that she tarried in the house, a little in the house. Then said Boaz unto Ruth, Hearest thou not, my daughter? Go not to glean in another field, neither go from hence, but abide here fast by my maidens. Let thine eyes be on the field that they do reap, and go thou after them. Have I not charged the young men that they shall not touch thee? And when thou art athirst, go unto the vessels and drink of that which the young men have drawn. And she fell on her face and bowed herself to the ground and said unto him, Why have I found grace in thine eyes that thou shouldest take knowledge of me, seeing I'm a stranger? And Boaz answered and said unto her, It hath been fully showed me all that thou hast done unto thy mother-in-law since the death of thine husband, and how thou hast left thy father and thy mother in the land of thy nativity, and art come unto a people which thou knowest not heretofore. And the Lord recompense thy work, and a full reward be given thee. The Lord God of Israel, under whose wings thou hast come to trust. And she said, Let me find favor in thy sight, my Lord, for thou hast comforted me, and for that thou hast spoken friendly unto thine handmaid, though not I be not like unto thine handmaids. And Boaz said unto her, At mealtime, Come up hither and eat of the bread and dip of thy morsel in the vinegar. And she sat beside the reapers, and he reached her parched corn, and she did eat and was sufficed and left. And when she was risen up to glean, Boaz commanded his young men, saying, let her glean even among the sheaves, and reproach her not. And let fall also some handfuls of purpose for her, and let them and leave them, that she may glean them, and rebuke her not. And that's what the title of my message tonight comes from, this verse. It's called Some Handfuls of Purpose. Now, we have all kinds of handfuls of purpose. A lot of times, we got so many of them around us, we don't even notice. I'll give you a good example of getting some handfuls of purpose, though. Here a few weeks ago, I went to change the sign, and I decided to walk out across the road there and see if I could find any letters that had blown off the sign. While I was over there, found a few letters down there in the ditch. Then I walked over by the fence and nestled, you know, I found a few also that had been run over by the lawnmowers. But when I got over by the fence, I found quite a few of them up by the fence, all nestled up under the trees where the lawnmower couldn't get to them, where they were kind of hung from the wind blowing them any further. And I wound up with 18 letters that day. And 2 weeks later, I went to change the sign again, and there was we had had a storm, and there was quite a few letters missing off the sign. So I went over there, and I found some more in the ditch, and I started walking along the fence line, and I was finding some in there. And as I was going back to get to one that I saw back by the fence, and I was having to work my way through the branches to get to it, and I just happened to look up on the other side of the fence, there was a letter. Well, I don't know how I'm going to get to that, because if you know, that's a 3-foot fence out there, and then there's barbed wire over that. I looked down at the fence, and somebody had cut the fence and the barbed wire, and they had taken a rubber inner tube or something and had weaved it through the fence and tied it back together, but they didn't do anything with the barbed wire, so I was able to just step right over it. As soon as I got to that first one, I looked up and I saw 3 more out there in the field. I started walking along the fence line, and as I was walking along the fence line, I kept seeing letters that I wouldn't have been able to see from this side of the fence, and letters that I couldn't have gotten to from this side of the fence. And they were, the Lord had them stashed up there. And because I was out there looking for them, he was pouring out some handfuls to me. Wound up with 28 letters that day. And if you know anything about those letters, they're not free when you go to buy a set of them. I think last time the church got some, it was a little over $150 for a set of 300 letters. And that didn't include the tax, title, road hazard, and shipping and handling. But people lose sight of the things that are a blessing to them. They lose sight of the things that God does special for them. God pours out blessings, and he pours out handfuls of purpose to each and every one of us. A lot of times people lay awake at night in their bed, can't go to sleep, thinking about all these different bills that they got to pay, and how are they going to pay them, and the tires on the car is bald, and they need new tires, but they ain't got money to pay their bills. They don't have food in the refrigerator. They don't know what's going to happen. What you need to do is quit thinking about the problems. A lot of people tell you to count sheep. I say count your blessings. Start counting your blessings and start seeing all those handfuls of purpose pour out to you. all those handfuls of purpose born all around you. And the devil don't like that. He'll put you to sleep real quick. And if worse comes to worse, you can always start reading your Bible, and the devil really don't like that. He'll put you to sleep for reading your Bible too. But another good example that I thought of was over in 2 Kings chapter 6. You know, the Syrians, they had surrounded Elisha because he was telling the king where the Syrians were, and the Syrians were at war with Israel. And so they came up and they surrounded him at night. And when Elisha's servant woke up the next morning, he went out there and he saw all these horses and chariots and warriors out there, and he said, "How should we do?" And Elisha said, "There's more of us than there is of them." And, you know, that kind of threw the servant off, but Elisha prayed and he said, open his eyes and let him see. And while he was praying, he was pouring out some handfuls. And when that servant looked up, there was horses and chariots of fire all around them, all over that mountain out there. And as you know, they struck them blind, took them into Samaria, fed them, gave them a big feast, and sent them on their way. And it said that they didn't come back into Israel again. But then in the next verse, it says that Ben-Hadad, king of Syria, besieged Samaria. So that means that they did come back in, but I believe this was a different king that did it in the next verse. That went from 23 to 24. And so when this next king came in, they had the city besieged. There was a famine. There was no food. It was super expensive to get anything that was of any nutritional value in the city. So the king was walking on the wall up there, and a woman hollered out and said, "Oh, king, help me." And he said, "If God can't help us, how shall I help you?" And those of you that know the story, she said, my neighbor said, "If we can eat your son today, we'll eat my son tomorrow." And she said, "And yesterday we boiled my son and we ate him, and today she has hit her son." And she wanted the king to help her. And the king did a lot like a lot of us Christians do. He got mad and wanted to take it out on the man of God, like it was the man of God's fault. He's nothing but the messenger. Don't shoot the messenger. But next thing you know, he got a message from Elisha saying that by the next day, food was going to be really cheap. And there was some lepers outside the city. They didn't know what was going on inside the city. They didn't hear the message from Elisha. They didn't hear that message from Elisha, so they didn't know what was going on, and it was nighttime, and they were thinking, "Well, you know, if we come on up here." I thought something like that was going to happen when I saw her walk in and shut the door behind her and Mama wasn't with her. But anyway, the lepers outside the city that night, they were thinking, you know, we're starving to death sitting here. We're not going to get any food. There's no food in the city. There's no water in the city. We don't have very much hope. So why don't we go to the host of the Syrians that are besieging the city, and maybe maybe we can get some food there. Maybe they'll be merciful to us and give us some food. So they went out, they went into the city, looked around, wasn't nobody around. There was some food sitting there by the fire, already cooked. They went over and had some food. There was some water right there next to it too. They got some water. Then they went into the tent. As they went into the tent, they started finding clothes, gold and silver. And they were so overwhelmed with all these handfuls of purpose that they were getting that they said, you know, this isn't right. We need to go back and tell them back in the city what's going on. There's way more here than we need. We need to share this blessing. We need to share some of these handfuls. And so they went back to the city, told the porter. They came out. The city came out and did the same thing. None of the Syrians were there. They were gone. You remember those chariots and horses of fire that they didn't see in verse 23? Well, they heard them. And the Syrians thought that Israel had hired Egypt and some other countries to come and get them. So they took off. They run back home and was throwing stuff all behind them as they went. They left all them handfuls of purpose out there for Israel. You know, sometimes we are required to fight the battle. Sometimes God just makes it personal. He takes care of it for us. God loves His children. He likes to do good things for them. You know, when we get saved, there's immediately a lot of handfuls of purpose that comes out to us. When you get saved, your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. When you get saved, you get washed in the blood. When you get saved, you become a child of the King. When you get saved, you become a joint heir to the throne. All these handfuls of purpose poured out to you, and you don't even realize it. I mean, you can't fathom what it's really going to be when you get there. All you know is what the Bible tells us. And if you're a new Christian, you probably don't know what the Bible tells us about it anyway. You've just stepped out by faith and taken hold of it. But as a Christian, as a newborn Christian, you start reading your Bible. As you read your Bible, then you start getting knowledge. As you read your Bible, you start getting filled. I mean, you start getting wisdom. And as you read your Bible, you start getting stronger. You start being able to fight against the wiles of the devil. To be able to fight against those fiery darts. And you get started tithing, giving that tenth of your income. God starts blessing you. You step out by faith and you start giving some offering to go with that tithe. God keeps filling up your pocket. Before you know it, He's putting it in this hand. You're giving it back to God in this hand. It's just handfuls of purpose. Before you know it, you got a wall of purpose all around you, and the devil's throwing them fiery darts at you, and he can't even get them to you. You look over there and you see one, you pull it up and pick your teeth with it and throw it back at him. It makes him so mad he's got to spit. But as those handfuls of purpose come down to us, we got to give Him the glory for it. Those handfuls of purpose aren't meant to make us prosper. They're meant to help us help others. And if we try to keep it all for ourselves, God will hold back on you. But as you do things for God, like as in the tithing, there's a ministry in the church, a class to teach, or some other ministry that needs to be done, and you step out And you take that thinking, man, I have no idea how to teach a class. But you step out there and you start doing it, start getting handfuls of purpose from it. Start getting these kids that look up to you and they respect you, and you start realizing, wow, they think I'm something I'm not. Because you know in yourself you're not. As you become more faithful to God, you start learning some humility. As you become more faithful to God, you start getting more of His blessings all around you. God takes care of His own. You get into those situations to where, like I said, you're awake at night and you're thinking, how am I going to pay the bills? How am I going to get some tires for the car? I need some gas so I can go to work, so I can make money, so I can pay the bills and be broke again. God's going to take care of it. It's in His hands. The things that are going on in this world, the way this whole world is lining up right now, and these are exciting times, watching how biblical prophecy, the world is lining up to biblical prophecy. How we're lining up for this one world government, this one world church, a one world economy. It's all coming into place. And it's happening in our lifetime so that we can watch it, so that we can see it. We're seeing prophecy out of this Bible that nobody else has ever seen before us. And there's things that, abilities that we have in our lifetime that nobody before us ever had. I'm old enough, I still remember black and white TVs and AM transistor radios. And if you bought a new car, it usually had an AM radio if you ordered it. Nowadays, what's the point in having an AM radio? There's nothing on there to listen to. And the reception's terrible. But, you know, nowadays, we got our phones that are like computers. Something can happen on the other side of the world and we can see it in real time. We can see it as it's happening. And that's part of lining up for this one world government. So that when the Antichrist takes over, when he speaks, the whole world will hear it. It's never been like this before. These are exciting times. But we do have a Redeemer. We're going to be taken out of here before the Antichrist comes in. Before he sets up his kingdom, we're going to be up there with Jesus. And I hope everybody that's here is ready. If you're not ready, you need to get ready. Because the time is very short. Like I said, it's never been like it is right now. Everybody down through time, you know, for hundreds of years, has said, you know, Jesus could come today, and he could have, but he didn't. But things weren't like they are right now either. So many things, the Bible said that in the end time that people, man's knowledge will increase. And man's knowledge started increasing like from 1700 to 1900, it doubled. From 1900 to 1950, man's knowledge doubled. From 1950 to 1970, it doubled. By the mid-80s, it was doubling at about the rate of every 2 to 3 years. I can imagine what it is now in the 2000s. It's way more than that. Technology has exploded. Used to, if you didn't even have a phone in your house, it didn't matter. A lot of people didn't see the point of having a phone. Nowadays, if you don't have a phone to carry around with you 24/7, you're lost. It's a day of technology. But our kinsman redeemer is Jesus Christ, and He is coming back for us. He's coming back for those that are His children, for those that are saved. And in the meantime, just like Boaz commanded his young men, saying, let her glean among the sheaves. Right now, his fields are white unto harvest, and we're here to glean among the sheaves. And sometimes you may go a long time without ever winning a soul to Christ. You're just out there planting seeds and planting seeds. And it's not a matter of where you plant it. It's just a matter of being obedient and going out and planting it. Going out and scattering those seeds. Maybe you don't get to lead somebody to Christ for a long period of time. And then just every once in a while, Lord pours out a little handful of purpose in your lap. And you get to lead somebody. You're like, yes! Made it! But if you think your life is empty and it's not full of everything that you need, it may not be full of everything that you want, but if it's not full of everything that you need, make sure that you got Jesus in your heart. Because when you got Jesus in your heart, Jesus loves His children, and He's going to take care of them. And you'll have what you need. You'll always get by. He's talking about stepping out by faith. Every time you step out by faith, doing something that you think you can't do, like teaching a class or tithing or giving an offering up over and above the tithe, God just takes care of it. Every time you give back to God, He gives back to you. Samuel's mother, she was barren, and she asked for a child. And she said, God, if you'll give me a child, I'll give it back to you. And she did. As soon as she weaned the child, she took it back and led him to the Lord and gave him to Eli to raise in the temple to be a Nazarite priest, who became one of the greatest prophets and judges that there was in Israel. But when she lent her son back to the Lord, she had more children after that. She still got to come back and see her son. She didn't lose her son. She just lent him to the Lord. And she always knew where he was. At 10 o'clock, she knew where her children was. But that's what my message was tonight, is there's handfuls of purpose out there. And if you don't think they're getting poured around you, close your eyes and think about it. Think about the good things. There was I'll give you another example. There was a woman I knew that, every time I talked to her for years, every time I talked to her, she was like, so-and-so's trying to take everything I got. They're trying to take away my money. They're trying to, they're stealing me blind. They're doing this. They're doing that. And finally, I got tired of it. I said, look, all you do is whine and complain. But think about it. You got a two-story, four-bedroom log house on 6 acres of land. You got animals. You got a 53 Chevy pickup in the driveway that's drivable. You got a 57 Belvedere sitting out in the yard that's worth a lot of money. You got a car and a van that you drive all the time. Your kids are in good health. Hadn't heard her whine and complain since. But those handfuls of blessings are out there, and you don't have to look very far to see them. And if you want more, give God more of what you got, and He'll give you more of what He's got.